For the benefit of friends who will listen to this message online, I'm re-recording a talk I gave at Minster Level Methodist Church yesterday, which didn't work. It was a failure. We've no idea why, but I'm now going to record it in our own little chapel, shades of lockdown, because that's how I did it through lockdown, in an empty church. I'm hoping that this time it will come out okay. Minster Level Methodist Church is one of the churches in our newly formed West Oxfordshire Circuit, which we at Westcote joined just over 12 months ago, along with our churches at Churchill and Chipping Norton. Minster Level is a much bigger village than Westcote. In fact, it has 10 times the population at around 2,500, with a large new estate being built at the moment. It lies just a mile or two west of Witney. The theme of my talk today is the challenges of a rural parish. I believe it's as relevant to friends in Minster Level as it is to us in Westcote, and hopefully it will speak to some of you listening online as well. This is my first visit to Minster Level, and I've been made to feel very welcome. The chapel is a similar size to ours, or perhaps a little bit bigger. It's in very good condition. Having spoken to the senior steward, who like me is also a local preacher, I have felt led to touch on these issues or challenges of a rural parish. There are, of course, far more issues that we can touch on in the time available. I just want to speak under two headings. Firstly, leadership, and secondly, what I will call a committed fellowship. The scripture that we've had read is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, about the early church, and I will be referring to that in a moment. Firstly, leadership, and I mean local leadership. I remember many years ago going to listen to the president of the Methodist Conference, who was speaking at Banbury, and his message was the need for a pastor in every church. Sadly, his message, to my knowledge, was not generally acted upon, and I think that was a shame, because he had a real vision, which, if it had have been enacted, I believe it would have made a real difference in the Methodist Church. We still rely on the circuit system, with ministers increasingly thin on the ground and further away from the churches in their care. And it's just the same, I believe, in the rural Anglican benefices. Rectors are getting more and more churches to care for. The Shill Valley Benefice, which is very near to Minster Level, has 12 churches with only two ministers, and one of those is very sick at the moment. Our own benefice, Evenlode Vale, has 7 churches with now just one full-time minister, helped by a good team of retired ministers and lay readers. I was somewhat bemused by being asked by our previous superintendent minister if I was interested in becoming a pastor. So I asked him to tell me more about it. He told me it involved travelling to Northampton, a round trip of 2 hours, once a week during term time, over a period of 2 years. I reckon by the time I'd finished, I would have been 73 years old. I figured it was not a good investment, either for the circuit or for me. And I guess if you ask folks at Westcote, they would probably say, and you're already doing the work of a pastor anyway. And that's what I do try to do. Why does the church tie itself in knots with largely unnecessary procedures and a good deal of red tape? In my own humble opinion, it's not helping our church. All that is needed is support and perhaps some training, as it were, on the job. There is no reason, in my view, that a local preacher or steward could not be made up to fulfil this role and get some much-needed support from the circuit staff to be recognised. Sadly, I feel if something like this does not happen, we will only lose more rural chapels, many of whom are really struggling. There needs to be, in my view, a much greater emphasis and acknowledgement of the importance of local leadership by the Methodist Church. So I suggest that our first challenge is local leadership. As an aside here, I would also suggest, whenever possible, we build a strong partnership with other local churches, which in your case at Minster Level and ours at Westcote means the Anglican Church. Now, I know this is not always simple, as there may be theological or practical differences, But I would go as far as to say that this may be the only way forward for the rural church. And in these times when we're trying to cut down on travel and the consequent pollution, staying local and sharing resources makes a lot of sense. Joint services and other occasions can be very encouraging, as numbers are always more than what we experience when we're on our own. And I also think there would be value in exploring ways of sharing leadership. Because one of the things I haven't mentioned in relation to leadership is the danger of burnout. Because always in our rural setting, there are too few people doing too many jobs. And that particularly applies to church leaders. Wherever those tasks can be shared, that will be very beneficial. I turn now briefly to my second point, which I've called a committed membership. I don't necessarily mean official membership. That has its value. I mean membership in the sense of belonging by attending the local fellowship, being there, being present, being involved. For a few years now, I've been the chair of our village hall committee. We've spent a lot of time and money over the years, and we've brought the hall up, we believe, to a very good standard. But recently, we struggled to get enough people to come forward as committee members. Our constitution states there must be at least six people, and with several retiring this year, we were in real danger of dropping below that number. Thankfully, now a couple of people have come forward, and so we're okay at the moment. I don't know if it's the same here, but our situation is not helped by the fact we have increasing number of houses occupied only at weekends and at holiday times. It's very difficult for those people to contribute to village institutions and events, and of course that includes church life. I feel that commitment in general, even in the context of our relationships, is an issue. My wife Hazel and I got married almost 52 years ago. We had our golden wedding celebrations just before the advent of COVID. We were very fortunate. I seem to remember the phrase in our commitment to each other, until death us do part. That's something, of course, that we dread. But I assume couples still say it. Many seem, though, to abandon that pledge. Seems a lack of commitment to each other. In our church community, we need Christians who are prepared to make commitments. That is why we read these few verses about the early church in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Now, this is not a rural church. Presumably, it was Jerusalem. It was a city church, and it was a big one. A verse before, we read about 3,000 people were converted and baptized in one day. Even the mega churches in the States can hardly dream of that sort of growth. Nevertheless, I suggest we can learn from the kind of commitment made in that early church. The phrase I like is, they devoted themselves. That surely is commitment. So it's helpful to note what they devoted themselves to. Firstly, to the apostles' teaching, then to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Remember, they didn't have the New Testament as we know it. It was not then compiled. If they were Jewish, and I guess a lot of them were, they would have had what we call the Old Testament. But they had the apostles' teaching there and then in person. Many of these people, many of these leaders had been and lived with Jesus. So they had local leadership par excellence. The apostles were their leaders. What a privilege. They valued their teaching because it was divinely inspired, and it became the basis of the New Testament as we know it, which should be important to us. So we should ask ourselves, are we committed to the reading and study of Scripture? Without that, what basis indeed is there for our faith? Again, this is something we can do with Christians in other denominations. We have just managed at Westcote to restart our Thursday fellowship. We now meet in the afternoon as we're largely retired folk. In our gathering of around 20 people, we include Anglican, Catholic and Baptist friends, in addition to those of us who call ourselves Methodists. We have a varied program, but our emphasis is on studying the Scriptures. We often have a Bible-based talk and then a discussion about it in small groups. I believe this commitment is very valuable in different ways. It strengthens our faith as we share our study of Scripture, and it strengthens our fellowship across the church boundaries. The early church was committed to the apostles' doctrine, and it's vital that we emulate that and value and study the Scriptures. Secondly, they were committed to their local fellowship, even to the extent of selling their own possessions and goods to give to those who were in need. That is commitment. There was no welfare state in those days, no universal credit. Later, the church appointed leaders to organise help, to identify and serve those who were in need. Every fellowship is different. The needs are different. The times are different. But in our own fellowship, I think the needs are not so much financial as pastoral. We have friends who are unwell, others who suffer age-related issues like lack of mobility. So visiting and keeping in touch with them is vital, especially for those who are unable to meet for worship and fellowship. This has been a real challenge during the lockdowns, and it's now over 18 months that I started a weekly news and worship bulletin. Little did I know that I would still be doing it some 80-odd weeks later. And people keep begging me to continue. It goes out to over 100 households. It's a very useful form of communication, and for the moment anyway, I will continue to send it out. We also have a few friends who don't do email, so they get a hard copy, either delivered or in the post. Often I attach a script of sermon notes, my own or someone else's, and we try to post a podcast of the recorded message on our website, as hopefully we will be able to do today. It was strange in the lockdowns when I preached to an empty chapel in order to share it online, and I'm actually doing that again this morning. But I've been heartened that it's not just been down to me to keep in touch with the fellowship. Others have kept in touch with each other, and I think all of that has contributed to the fact that almost all who met together before COVID are meeting with us again now. We just have one or two who, for health reasons, are still being very careful, but I know that they will come back when they feel the time is right. There is more. This early church was committed to the breaking of bread in each other's homes. I assume this was an informal celebration of the Lord's Supper, a joyful and spontaneous occasion full of praise and thanksgiving. I would guess it was rather different to the formal occasions that we're used to today. And it speaks to me, the fact that they were doing it in their homes, it speaks to me of hospitality. My wife and I ran a hospitality business for over 40 years, so I guess this is kind of in our genes. But the difference now we're retired is that we get to choose our guests. But we still love entertaining, and we really missed it during lockdown. We had several groups of six in our garden. You remember we were allowed at one point to do that. It was a challenge as the weather never seemed just right. It was either too hot or too cold. Shades of the Three Bears. But seriously, I think commitment to each other through acts of hospitality, just a cup of tea or coffee, is vital to build the local fellowship. Yes, we have started to have coffee after worship in chapel again, and that's wonderful. But I find it difficult to have an in-depth conversation with lots of people milling around. A lot want to speak to me. I think just to invite one or two people around to your own home for a cup of tea or coffee is very, very important. I want to mention briefly our commitment also to our neighbours and to our community. You will notice that this church met together in the temple courts. That was a very public place. It was like an open-air service. Of course, they had no buildings of their own, no churches or chapels like we do. But they had a story to tell. The story of Jesus who came into the world his own hands had made. The story of a saviour for lost mankind. A saviour who had died so recently, but who had been raised again to life and been seen by many people. We still have that story. Jesus has touched and transformed our own lives, and he commissions us, he encourages us to share our own experience with others. As the old hymn says, "Thy touch has still its ancient power. No word from thee can fruitless fall. Next Sunday, we're hoping to hold our first cafe church in the village hall since before the lockdown. We're going to hear from Anna, our circuit children and family worker, and I'm hoping that some of our local families might come along to hear a little of Anna's story and how someone who was born in Russia has been called to this ministry in Oxfordshire. I look forward very much to hearing her story. And finally, there was a commitment to prayer. Why is it, I ask myself, that the prayer meeting, if there is one, is the least well attended of all our meetings? I have a friend who attended a big Baptist church in London, in Richmond. They would have expected around 300 people to gather for Sunday worship. But he told me that their prayer meeting, which if I remember rightly was monthly, only around 30 people came, 10%. If only 10% of our people gathered to pray, that would be just a couple of people, two or three. Bearing in mind that we are a gathered church at Westcote, and some friends travel for up to 15 miles. In fact, only two or three of us, our regular worship, live in the parish. We addressed the problem a year or so before lockdown in two ways. We had an ecumenical prayer breakfast, which sadly has not restarted. I hope that at some time we may be able to restart that. And a prayer focus, which we have resumed. This is an open time of prayer once a month on Sunday morning after the service and after coffee. And about a dozen folk would stay and most would pray aloud. What an encouragement, and I was very blessed by the experience. Since restarting prayer focus, numbers have been smaller, but I hope will increase gradually. And there is a sense that the prayer times are the powerhouse of the church. This is where everything begins. It's not just when we speak to God, but we give him time to speak to us, to direct us, to encourage us. So these early believers were committed to the apostles' doctrine, to the breaking of bread in their churches, fellowship in their houses rather, and they were committed finally to prayer. And I feel that this is vital to the furtherance of the work in any church, not just in rural churches. All these issues, I believe, apply to any church, but for a small rural church where there is really no place to hide and where we are very stretched, they are vital. I do hope that both friends locally in Minster Lovell and friends listening online, and especially those in rural situations, will be encouraged and stimulated by these few words this morning. Amen.